The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, we'll be talking to Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport and Safety and Security expert, about what went on with Air Force One landing in Shannon on its way back home. But first, we want to talk to Kevin about this extraordinary story of a fellow who channeled Catch Me If You Can.
Kevin. Indeed. Good morning, Pat. This concerns a man called Dallas Pokernick. He's 33 years old and he was in Toronto. And he worked as a Toronto-based airline for 2 years as a flight attendant. That was 2017, 2019. But after that, after COVID, he went back in business for himself and decided that he'd wanted to fly around the world for free. And yeah, he did that very successfully.
How did he do it?
He got various, first of all, from his old airline, which Air Canada said wasn't them, but the only airline based in Toronto is Air Canada. They said nothing about it. And then he managed to get all sorts of other ID cards from different airlines, from Honolulu, Chicago, Fort Worth. And he would photocopy them and make, you know, copies of them, and then he'd tell people he was a flight attendant or a pilot in some cases, and he'd get access to the cockpits in some cases, they think, and fly free. And it went on and on and on, but it came to an end then just last Tuesday when he was extradited from Panama, of all places. He got there for free, I don't know how. now, of course, it's a very serious federal offence. He's indicted on wire fraud charges and he might face 20 years in prison or a fine of $250,000. And then they're going after him and throwing the book at him, so to speak.
They should be very grateful to him, because what he has done is to expose security lapses, which are incredible.
Yeah, as you know, I did security audits. And if you look as if you belong, you do. You know, if you've got the right identification. He was smart enough to know what the current codes were and who did what, and he would blank his way on through the system in different airlines. But to do it, you'd have to have a really hard neck, because if you're caught, you know, it's handcuffs and that kind of thing. But it went on and on and on. And 4 years later, it finally came to pass. However, he didn't do himself any favours, to be honest, Pat, because if you tap in his name to the various medias, you have photographs of him on holidays in different places. And he'd no known income, so he'd pop up in various towns and put a photograph up there.
Now, which airlines did he card, or do we know?
Well, the ones that he said, the indictment says he was using airlines based in Honolulu, Chicago and Fort Worth. But the only airlines based in those places on a process of elimination is Hawaiian Airlines in Honolulu, United Airlines in Chicago, and American Airlines in Fort Worth. But they have not commented, nor have Air Canada, on the matter of the indictment.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? The lapses
really is
in security.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, if you can, if it's happening, you know, for his purposes, which were for fun, basically, is it happening for other nefarious, you know, security?
But as you, as an auditor, I mean, how would you prevent that kind of thing?
Well, you have to have snap checks and that kind of thing. And the greatest link, or the greatest danger in security, in both in prisons and in airports, is, of course, the staff, you know. So you have to be sure that the people who are working in security areas are entitled to be there. And that's what you do, snap checks from point to point. Take nothing for face value. That's what is done.
Okay. Now, why did Air Force One land in Shannon?
Very simple reason. This Air Force One, by the way, is not an aircraft, even though people think it is.
Yeah.
It's usually a Boeing 747, which the Americans refer to as the VC-25A, based in Andrews Air Force Base. I had the privilege of being there when it was called Andrews Air Force Base in 2007. It's now called Joint Base Andrews because there's US Navy there. And normally the 747 is given to the president and his staff. And there's a second one which follows, which is always 20 minutes behind flight time. But on whatever day he departed for Davos, it had a minor electrical issue and it turned around and went back. And rather than take the 747, the second one, they let that go ahead with various support staff.
Okay.
And they got into a 757, which they now call a C-32A. So that was a smaller, lighter aircraft from that point of view. And they went on to Davos.
So they went on to Davos. So that was the one he was stuck with.
Exactly.
He didn't take the other big one, the 747.
No, because you've got to do all sorts of twisting and changing. And don't forget, there's a colonel or equivalent goes with them within 10 metres all the time with what they call the football, which are the codes for launching nuclear missiles. And the staff with them must be minimum staff, and that travels. So when he left Davos, which I saw on the television in the dark, the aircraft wasn't full. It was full of fuel, but it had to go to Shannon to fill the tanks again because they wanted full fuel to cross the Atlantic. The range was good enough, but they'd have few enough reserves. Just in case the weather or something happened, the 757, which we call the C-32, doesn't have flight refueling. The 747 does. So they can't flight refuel if something happens in an emergency.
Okay, so they wanted a full tank when they headed out over the Atlantic.
Which will give you a range of maybe 8,000 kilometres.
So you could land in Canada if Mark Carney would let him.
Or Hawaii, or whatever it might be. But that's the reason why. It wasn't an emergency. But I must say, in aviation terms, it was a very well-kept secret. Very few people knew the aircraft was actually going to land. The call sign goes with the aircraft, Air Force One, and when he's in the helicopter, it's called Marine One because it's, you know, run by the Marines from that point of view. Nobody else uses that, just the president from that point of view. So it's unfortunate in that he didn't have the comfort of his 747, but he did get to and from Dallas. Yeah.
I got a call to tell me he was coming to Shannon.
Well, no, Shannon, you didn't ring me, Pat. So. But it was a well-kept secret from that point of view.
A well-kept secret. Now, is there any history of things going a bit wrong for senior American officials?
I'm afraid so. The Air Force 747, they have two of them, as I said. They fly together, which is not generally known. But they arrived in 1990, which is 35 years old now. So they were heavily modified for the mission, of course. Advanced communications, defensive countermeasures, including things behind the engines to stop missiles. You can actually see those on the ground. And the aerial refueling capabilities in the nose. And they've got command and control systems. In other words, if the war took place, if a nuclear bomb landed, the president can stay aloft for days in this aircraft and fly around and command and control. He must have control of his submarines, of his forces on the ground, Air Force and so forth. So it uses a vast amount of electricity, and if you've got an electrical or structural failure, you have to come back and land. And that's what happened, I think.
When they were heading for Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. So they made a quick change. Now, the replacement aircraft was, of course, available for him because it's on standby in the squadron. Now, they did have a deal to replace these two old aircraft with new aircraft. They called the VC-25B, which is under a 747, two of them, and they're 747-800s.
And they're being built by Boeing.
Yeah, but they've been delayed and delayed. They should have been delivered 4 years ago, and they're talking about now delivery in 2028. To my surprise, when, for example, our Taoiseach went to visit Mr. Trump last year, there's a model of the 747, the new one, not yet delivered, in front of the table, and I think looks like the Oval Office like that. Yeah. And he does that deliberately, I think, to make Boeing get their act together and deliver. But in the meantime, the waters have been muddied a tiny bit because the Air Force has allegedly accepted the offer of a 747-800 donated by Qatar. You might remember that. Now, I thought it was a new one, but in fact, it's a 13-year-old executive-type aircraft, so it needs a great deal of conversion. Otherwise, the security and the mission systems won't work, you see. So it's not an ordinary airliner. And they're talking about that being delivered in the next 6 months.
And again, the water's being muddied because they were wondering, would Trump get to keep it then? And
well, this is it.
Afterwards.
Yeah.
But the problem there is all the systems that the Air Force would have to put in for the president would have to be taken out before it could be given
to the next president.
That's exactly
the point, because they're obviously highly secure and they're very coded and that kind of thing. But you asked about safety incidents. The one that sprung to mind straight away to me wasn't one of security, but it was one that scared the natives of New Jersey and New York City. In 2009, one of the colonels decided to fly, for reasons I can't remember, one of the 747s low-level across the two cities in that regard, but he'd failed to tell the authorities there, so there were people scurrying into bunkers and trying to get indoors, thinking the 747 was going to crash into a high building in replication of what happened in 9/11, like that. But it wasn't that at all. It was for photography purposes. They wanted pictures of it flying over the Statue of Liberty and so forth. But he never told her. So I suspect the colonel was removed of his command and sent somewhere else.
I would expect so.
At the end of that.
Kevin, thank you very much for joining us. That's Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel, Airport Safety and Security Expert.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.